you thank God for the song that you have in your heart tonight. Now let us go back, shall we, to Isaiah chapter 9, the 9th chapter of Isaiah. The joy of having you here, we trust the Lord will bless you. Grant you much joy for being here. Remember, you are the best means of advertisement. You yourselves are being blessed by the ministry. You tell others of it and encourage them to come along. I remember in those days gone by how in the morning services were always a real blessing. Fewer in number than in the evening, no doubt, but times when we got to get closer together. Sunday, I think it was, probably Saturday evening, someone said to me, "You are Mr. Bob. Mr. Bob." Now, Mr. Bob means one in whom the Lord delighted. Found in the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, I'm so glad about that, mind you. So tomorrow morning, we're going to have a look at the Lord's delight from Isaiah 43. The 43rd chapter is a wonderful study. The first 12 verses, you read it for yourself, be a real definite blessing to you. You come along with your heart exercise, and I'm sure the Lord will bless you in a very real way. All right, so then. Oh, by the way, how many of you remember the chorus? It's a new life. Oh, how he changed me. How about those who remember it? You remember it. Very good. I thought we were going to have some copies made for you today, but we've been gallivanting a little bit, and we haven't had time, and I don't know if we're able to do that. I gave you some copies, we looked for them, I asked to leave them in the seat, or if you took them away, to bring them back with you. How many brought them back tonight? Let me see. Well, look at that. You're appropriate by simple faith down here. That's one of them. We're not so bad, and I think we know it, so let us have it, shall we? It's a new life. If you don't know it, just sing la la la, but please do something. You know what I saw just now? Somebody just yawned. So they're doing at the beginning of the service what's going to happen before the end. Anyway, come on, let it go. It's a year like me, wonderful life. Amen? The joy that life's filling our hearts tonight. Just wonderful. Now, I don't know whether you're smiling at me or to me or I don't know what you're doing, but my words are really smiling tonight. Especially on Monday night after all the busy day washing, ironing, darning too, sometimes making Irish stew. But I think we had taking kidney pie tonight, didn't we have? So there it is. So come on, let's have it once more and just sing it right up with all the power you've got. Right? It's a new life. People are reaching me a new life. They see me all in me a new life. Who is your angel? It's a wonderful one. It's a big life. It's a big life. People are it will be a big life. People are it will be a big life. A deeper and wider. Gone are the wrinkles and gone are the pain. It's gone.
darkness and all is the night. I have found Jesus, the true head of life. Jesus is life. Do not refuse me a ring. Losing a ring. Hey, life, oh, why don't you choose it? It's a wonderful, wonderful.
Very good. A lot of youngsters in Bible school used to say, Uncle Jim, that's the figure of speech, by the way. Listen, Uncle Jim, say that again. Before again. It fills me through and through. And you know, it really does. Really fills us through and through. Right, all then, let us read our two verses again tonight, shall we? Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Last night we looked at the name Wonderful. He's wonderful, remember, in His grace, in His gentleness, in His glory, in His greatness, and in His government. Now verse number 6, Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, reminding us of His incarnation. Unto us a son is given, reminding us of His manifestation. Very good. Glad you're with me. And his government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now that is His designation. His designation. We'll deal with that a little tonight. Now verse 7. For the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. That is His occupation. His occupation. But now lastly, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, and that is His glorification. Very simple outline. But tonight I want you to take a look at those five wonderful names given to our Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a lot written about these wonderful names. I want to take them and give you tonight five sweet peas. We gave you last night five little G's that you can take away with you. I want to give you five little sweet peas. Sweet peas, my favorite plant. They're never so great, never so beautiful. I want to suggest another five to you tonight. First of all, then, it says that He is wonderful. There is a little Hebrew word called pele. The word means wonderful, has the idea of being miraculous, full of awe, amazement. As we come to our adorable Lord Jesus, we look upon one who is full of wonder. We're utterly astounded at the Lord Jesus. We're filled with awe that inspires us, an amazement that causes our hearts to bow before Him in worship and in true adoration, because tonight the Holy One is wonderful. And you know something? He fills our heart with wonder tonight. The Bible says, remember, the very mention of His wonderful name bows our hearts in worship and in true adoration. So I want to suggest something tonight concerning this wonderful Lord Jesus, that He is wonderful in His power. He is wonderful in His power. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse number 24, God has made Christ be unto us the wisdom of God and the power of God. Now this word power is an interesting word. In Romans 1 verse number 16 you read Paul saying again, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power, the dynamic, the dynamo of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I know so many refer to it as the dynamite, but I like to think of the word as dynamo. Not so nearly a stick of dynamite being ignited, and there's a devastating blast and a shattering. Fall you there and all saved by God's grace here tonight know that very same devastating power in our lives, setting us free from sin, change of sin, and self and satanic influence. We thank God tonight we can truthfully say, I am proud of the gospel of Christ. It's a dynamic of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth. But I like the word dynamo far better. The word is like a dynamo coming right into your life. This dynamo is supercharged. It's supercharged. And the Bible says we are kept by the power of God, the dynamo of God. Some people say, I would be saved, but I don't think I could keep it. No, neither could I. But thank God I am being kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last day. We're going to look at that power just in a moment or two. And remember too, it says in John chapter 1, verse number 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now to believe on him is to receive him. I want to stress that. Not a case of believing about the Lord Jesus, giving a mental assent to historical facts concerning Christ. Not a case of believing in Christ, giving a kind of a mental acquiescence, having confidence in Christ. Oh no. The word is to believe on. That means a complete commitment of my soul to him. And what does the Bible say in John 6, verse 37? That the Lord says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The moment I come to him, he receives me as I come the lambs that grant to him. Just as I am, thy love I own, has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone. O Lamb of God, I come, maybe in the language of the third verse, just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, that thou didst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, and as we come to him, he receives us, and all the wonder we by faith receive him by his spirit into his spirit chamber, and there is an indissoluble union. You're in Christ, Christ in you. Oh, the wonder of that glorious joy. Then what happens? You receive this power. You receive this new life. And in 1 John chapter 5, again verse 12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so on believing on the Lord Jesus, that limit I receive him by faith into my heart, that moment I not only receive a supernatural life, I receive a supernatural power. And I won't stress that if I may. And I think of that wonderful scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through verse number 22. And I want you to come with me tonight if you will, and think of those awe-inspiring words, stand with holy reverence in his presence, as you hear the apostle saying, God, by the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and placed him far above all principality and power, might and dominion, name that is named, not only in this world, also in that which is to come, is all things under his feet, and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the bones of him that first all and in all. Friend, the power that we tonight have is a liberating power, because it was a bodily resurrection from out among the dead, not a mere phantom, a mere spirit, but Christ has had on me and see. It is I myself. He walked with them, he talked with them, he ate with them, and he drank with them after his resurrection. The last time the world saw Christ was when they hung him upon a cross, and they'll never see him again until they stand before his judgment bar. He appeared to his own for 40 days. When he arose from the dead, he appeared to his own. his hurt with his own. And he says, a spirit of not flesh and bone as you see me have, handle me and see, it is I myself. I love that expression, you know. I really do. All the disciples were made glad, were overjoyed when they had seen the Lord and his resurrection life. May I pause now? It's a liberating power. But there's something more. It's an elevating power. For God has placed his Son. Now get this. The one who went down to the very low and the dead dark domain, the one who humbled himself, is now the one whom God has highly exalted. And you'll think, oh, the heaven hierarchy standing there as a great God of honor, all the angelic hosts standing there, the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, all the archangels are there, and the standing of the great God of honor, as the glorious victor has gone down to the dead dark domain, and he won the meeting crown by being trodden down, and now see him being raised by the in greatness of God, with power from out among the dead, see him now rising, still bearing the marks of Calvary's passion, and his hands and feet in that spear-riven side, that torn carved brow. His soul riding past through the pearly gate, past that great God of honor, and he goes up, 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 far above all, far above all. Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. Kings may run, kings may fall. Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. So look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight return victorious, every knee to him shall bow. Crown him. Crown become the mighty victor's brow. Yes, thank God, this liberating power is also an elevating power. You might bring a great theologian like a John Nelson Darby, a great scholar like a Lincoln or a Kelly, a great preacher, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great orator like a Talmage. You might bring a great evangelist, D.L. Moody. You might bring the Prince of Exposers, Dr. Alexander McCrum, and place them all before you and say, please can you tell us what this means? That God has placed his Son far above all. All those dear men would bow their heads and their hearts and cry, we do not know. It's beyond our solid mind. We can't grasp it. It's beyond us that all we believe it and we worship and we adore him. As a night child of God, I want you to get the picture. Men put Christ upon a cross. That was their estimation of him. God has given him the highest place heaven afford. Men place a crown of thorns upon his kingly brow. God placed the crown of pure gold upon his lovely brow. Men place a reed in his hand, a reed for a scepter. God has given him the royal scepter and the authority to wield that scepter. And all heaven bows before him tonight. They laud him, they worship him. Yes, it's an elevating power. Beloved, I want to get this tonight. Far above all principality and power of might and dominion, God placed his Son far beyond all distinction of power. But every name that is named above all description of power, not only in this world, also in that which is to come. He placed him far beyond all dispensation of power. Now, did you get those CDs? Because I want you to get them. They'll be a blessing to you. God placed him beyond all distinction, description and dispensation of power. Beloved, and I get the picture. It is not only a liberating power and an elevating power. Now I gaze upon my durable Lord Jesus Christ and all his perfect glory, and I cry with my heart with your joining me now. Rise, our soul, behold this Jesus. Jesus fills thy wondering eyes. See him now in glory seated where thy sins no more can rise. There in righteous transcendent blue in heaven he doth appear. Shows the blood of his atonement as thy title to be there. Amen. Oh, the wonder of it all. But then the subjugating power. Is all things under his feet. And given him head to be head over all things to the church. Now this liberating, elevating, and subjugating power, we stand with holy awe and godly reverence before Him now. Our hearts are strength renewed toward our Lord Jesus. But you know, in my quotation, I missed out a little phrase, and I did it purposely. You know what that phrase is? Listen carefully. God by the extreme greatness of His power is this, to us word to believe. That's it. This liberating, elevating, subjugating power is the very power that came into your life and my life and move and form again. All the power of the risen, conquering Christ in our disposal tonight. Why do we go around like spiritual paupers when we're spiritual multimillionaires? Why do we go around like spiritual weaklings when we're spiritual giants? All this power invested in Christ is not our disposal, because He has come into your life and into my life, and He brings His mighty supernatural power with Him, because He has brought supernatural life. Only God touch your heart tonight, and cause your heart to exalt in the Lord Jesus. Some of you, I want you to notice here, not only do I think of Him in all His glorious power and majesty, and to none I cry, oh, He is wonderful, wonderful in His power. For this afternoon, yea, throughout the hours of day, we beheld something of the glory of our adorable Lord Jesus in creation. We saw the majesty of His handiwork in creation in so many different ways today, far beyond my finite mind to display to you or describe to you. Even my wild imagination, I could not describe it adequately to you tonight. For the eyes have beheld and for the ears have heard today of the Lord Jesus as the mighty Creator. But remember this, beloved, tonight. I only think of His mighty power here in creation. This one who spoke worlds into being. He spoke worlds into being. Now get this for 1 minute, shall we? But not only has He spoken worlds into being, He's the one who holds all things by the word of His power. By Him all things are held together, word of cohesion. By Him all things are held together. By Him all things consist. All things were made for Him. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. I've been greatly thrilled in recent days, as I find the astronomers declare that there are something like 66 trillion stars. 66 trillion stars. Only recently are the astronomers have found, way up there in the northern hemisphere somewhere, a galaxy of stars that never alive were there before. And the wonder of wonder thrills my soul. According to report, Webster's unabridged dictionary has something like 500,000 words. Now think that through. 500,000 words, the unabridged edition. Now, you know, we are told it would take 80 quadrillion such volumes to contain all the number of the stars and the names of the stars. Now these are just the stars I am thinking of. In Genesis it says, remember, He created this and this and this, and He saw it was good, yea, very good. Then He said, and the stars also. As if they're incidental. Oh, the wonder of our wonderful God, beloved tonight. Now, I want to draw your attention by me to a verse, two verses in Psalm 147. And I'm sure this is going to thrill your heart. Psalm 147. 147. Now, notice in verse number 43 and 4, these words. Now think of this one of whom I've been talking. I'm seeking the energy of the Spirit to present to your heart. And look at verse number 3 now. Psalm 147, verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now doesn't that touch your heart? This one who's God of very God, this one who's put worlds into being, this one who's numbered and named all the stars, and according to astronomers, something like 66 trillion stars. Yet it says here, he healeth the broken in heart. I love that, don't you? And notice, and bindeth up their wounds. Now notice, this comes before verse number 4. The healing of the broken heart, the binding up of the wounds, is far more to our adorable Lord Jesus than verse 4. Notice now, he telleth the number of the stars. He calls them all by the name. And it would take something like 80 quadrillion volumes, each containing 500,000 words, as to hold all the numbers of the stars and their names. Yet, beloved, what does it say? What does it say in John chapter 20? If all that Christ did and said were recorded, even the world itself would not be able to contain the books. Now, this is a God that binds up the broken heart and heals the wounded spirit. No wonder we sing tonight, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Oh, friend, let it touch your heart tonight. He's a wonderful Lord. A wonderful Lord. Wonderful in all his power. I was going along this line some time ago in Massachusetts at a conference. Late Richard Hill was the other speaker. Never Mr. Hill spoke, he always made a wonderful foundation to build upon. And I remember talking about the fact we are co-heirs and joint heirs together with Christ. A lady came up to me some night then because I had speaking on Psalm 84 for 10 days, including the conference. And she came up on a Tuesday night to say, Mr. Basil, she said, you know, at the conference you said we are joint heirs with Christ. So, you know, I can't get over that. That my mind is reeling. I can't take that in. I said, my dear, I never said that at all. Oh, yes, you did. I heard you. Said, not me. I didn't say that. I know you said it. So what do you mean you didn't say it? I heard you say it. I said, no. I was only the mouthpiece. The Holy Spirit said that. Got that? The Holy Spirit said that. Oh, said, you know, and said, but think of this little planet in which we find ourselves living. And think of all the silver and the gold, the iron, the copper, the ore, and so on in the bowels of the earth. Think all the abundant wealth in the bowels of the earth. Think all the cattle upon the thousand hills. Think all the wonderful timbers that are. I think out in British Columbia alone of something like 80 different shades of green. I never tried to count those shades of green. I asked in a congregation some time ago, we had a traveler from Vancouver sitting in the congregation. I said, Jack, how many shades of green are there in British Columbia? He said there are 81. I never tried to count them. But there they are. And he said, just went on. I think of all those wonderful galaxies way up there in the heavens. You go out in a beautiful clear night, you look up and say, oh, she said, and you know that this little planet which we find ourselves living is one of the smallest of millions upon millions upon millions of worlds which at his word came into being, and he's heir to them all, and now you tell me I'm a joint heir with Christ? Oh, says James, I'm lost in wonder, love, and faith. All I can do is adore him and to worship him and yield my whole life entirely to him. Oh, this wonderful Lord. Oh, beloved, he's wonderful in his power. Years ago, some 20 years ago, I was standing on my first visit to Canada at the Niagara Falls. It's been my boyhood ambition to visit the Niagara Falls. Two great countries were in my geography classes I loved above all other countries, India and Canada. And I longed with my ambition to come to Canada to stand beside those great halls. The day I stood there, a beautiful day in the middle of July, and the flowers were appearing there in all the color and glory and all the wonderful fragrance. The sun shone in all its strength. The birds were singing the lovely song. It was a marvelous day. And I stood there by the poles. I looked, and I listened, and I heard the roar of those many waters, and I thought of his voice, the voice of many waters, and I there those waters thundering over those falls, smashing on those rocks beneath. And I saw those spray going about 100 feet back up into the heavens, and the sun shining on that spray, making one of the most colorful rainbows I've ever seen in my life. I stood there, and I was lost. That great force of water was just like his love, and all his matchless grace flowing over to little me. I felt ever so insignificant, so puny, so tiny. Not that little spray, but just my little thank you going back to heaven. Such a contrast. Somebody poured those waters in that little spray. And oh, such a contrast. And the force of his love flowing over my life. Soaking me, bathing me, thrilling in his love and grace. And my little stand to Lord Jesus. Oh, how tiny, how puny. As I stood there that day, I was so struck with these words at the great Creator who created all this and died upon the cross to become my Savior. He spoke what was into being, but to save me had to shed his blood upon the cross of Golgotha and the one that came over my spirit line. And I stood there that particular day. My friends came and said, Jim, come on, get into the car. Let's go to the other side. Oh, I said, please, no, not yet. Just let me stand here a little longer. I was oblivious to all the crowds around me. I was lost. I was speechless. My wife tells me that's impossible. But oh, that day I was speechless. I was awestruck that I just ruled every part of my being. At last we got into the car and went to the other side. They come and seek now from the American side. But as we came round the bend to all the customs there, they were waiting for us. We asked everyone in the car where they came from, where they were born. When it came to me, never even asked where I was born. He just said, when did you leave England? Now, I never opened my mouth. How on earth he knew I had just come from Britain, I don't know. It may be my English cut suit in those days, or my detachable collar, but he knew I had just come across. Why, I said, 3 weeks ago, sir. He said, you better go into the office. Going into the office, another fellow said to me, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. He said, where are you from? I said, from the United Kingdom. He said, where's your passport? So I left my passport in Toronto, sir. I didn't know I had come to the great country, United States of America. Had I known, I brought my paper and all my VAVs and everything with me, but I didn't know. It's supposed to be a special treat for me to come into your country. My friends have brought me to see the falls from your side. So you can't get in without your passport. I said, sir, we won't be any longer than 2 hours. In fact, I got the priest tonight in Toronto, so we haven't come to stay. We've got to get back tonight. He said, you can't get in without your passport. That moment, Bill Hopkins came in. He said, is there any difficulty? The customs officer says, this young fellow, that was 20 years ago. So this young fellow can't get across without his American visa nor his passport. My friends, look, I'll leave my insurance policy, I'll leave my billfold, I'll leave any water to leave, and we'll pick it up on the way back. Says, sir, it's more than my job's worth. I can't let him across without his passport. But isn't his face honest enough looking? Is his face all right? But sir, I can't let him across. And nobody had done that. All because I hadn't got my passport. As we stood upon the Queenston Heights there, just under that wonderful monument, Brooks Monument, looking right over the Lake Ontario into the far end of America, his brother-in-law, Bill Wilson, put his arm right around me and said, Jim, you can be a hope with your eye, but no, you can't enter in. I looked round this fine, intelligent congregation night on this lovely Monday evening. And there's not one of us here but one day wanted to be in God's glory. We want to be with our adorable Lord Jesus. Know the splendor of that glorious one. We want to share all this with him. And friend, you'll never be there unless you got your passport. You'll never be there unless you got your passport. Your friend, we're willing to stand surely for you, but for the veracity of all that you're saying, unless you got your passport, you'll never be there. On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday, yet so many are not willing to accept the living way, but will others build on good works or opinions if they may. Hallelujah, I'm descending on the blood. And the soul cleansing blood of the Savior, I've been washed in the crimson flood, and my adorable Lord Jesus said, I am the way, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this one who is wonderful in his power stands at your heart's door tonight saying, I come in. And the moment you receive him, you receive all the power of the risen Lord. He becomes your Lord. He becomes your Savior. And to you too, and many of us here tonight, he shall become wonder. Oh, and you'll be filled with wonder because you receive this one who is really wonderful. The wonder of it all. That's not the time, is it? Oh, boy. Hello, Father, shall we then go down to the next word? The word is Counselor, isn't it now? His wonderful name. First of all, he is wonderful in his power. That is the Counselor in his precept. The Counselor in his precept. Says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye labor and are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The Hebrew word is the word yak. The word carries the name, glorious name, Counselor. The word yak. The word simply means to advise, to consult, to deliberate, and to guide. Counselor in connection to the Lord Jesus comes some 24 times. In the Word of God, fills my soul. Means he's supreme. He's not only superior, he is supreme. He's not only a peerless, he's the peer. He's not only Lord, he's Lord of all. He's not only King, he's King of kings. He's not only God, he's God of gods. The wonder of it all tonight, he's supreme, he stands unique, he's alone. Word I want to give you now, this one, this supreme is the one who's well qualified to counsel. To counsel. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Says in Psalm number 73, verse number 23, I will guide thee with my counsel and as will receive thee the glory. We're living in a day, beloved, when there's a real need for godly shepherds among us. A real need for real mothers in Israel. Men with a real shepherd heart. Women who are really spiritually minded. And they've got a real concern for the younger sisters among us today. Our young people in our universities and colleges and high schools, they have problems that we never had while we were there. They are living in a world we never lived in. They're living in a society that we never lived in. Those young people have got problems that we never had. And we got to have a sympathetic understanding, compassionate, loving heart toward our young people. And young people are coming to us for counsel. My wife's gone up to try Narimore to study. Only for 1 month. Christian psychology and psychiatry. Because the problem she's finding amongst women and young girls today. They're coming from all over the place. If a young person comes to you for counsel, or even an older person, then please remember that counsel is between you and that person. If someone, my friend, you have counseled, And they know in their own heart you're the only person they've confided in and talked the thing over with. And they hear that coming back through some other source. You've lost the confidence of that young person and you'll never regain it. Never break the confidence of a young teenager. Very fine young lady. Very striking, charming, good-looking girl. I refer to an outstanding preacher, internationally known, in the course of my talk one night. She came up to me. I knew well. Tears were in her eyes and said, "Uncle Jim, you refer to so-and-so tonight for your preaching?" I said, "Yes." Said, "Yes, he's a wonderful orator. His proof of eloquence is marvelous." Says, "I can hear him, but I can't listen to him. I can hear him, but I can't listen to him." Says, you surprise me. Why? "So because I confided in that man. I told him something as a personal secret, a personal point of my own life. I told him this. And he went from coast to coast. Using my name. That man, my friend, broke the confidence of that young girl. If anyone confides in you, whether they're young or old, remember it between you and the Lord. Never break the confidence. I point you to one tonight, dear one, who'll never betray you. He'll never betray your confidence. He'll never let you down. And I don't care how spiritually minded the sister may be, or how godly the dear brother may be, as you go to them for counsel, they'll take you to an open book, and on bended knee, you'll bow together, and more often will be the language of your heart, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel." Oh, beloved, thank God for godly men and spiritually minded sisters, in whom we have confidence we can go to, and unburden our hearts with them and know that what we're telling them is not to be told to anybody else, in between you and the Lord. It's so precious. Oh, the joy of such godly people. May I pause right here now. I present Jesus Christ to you. This one who is wonderful in his power. He's the counselor in his precept. Joshua, the greatest military leader the world has ever known, failed here. The neighbors came in disguise, old clothing, old moldy bread, and old torn wine skin. They made out they come from a far country. What does the Bible say? And Joshua did not take counsel at the word of the Lord. Oh, that we may learn the secret of taking time to be alone with God, in communion with Him, and most often will be the language of our heart. "I will bless the Lord for giving me counsel." You know, in the margin of your Bible, no, not in the margin, but you know when you read this verse number 6, chapter 9 of Isaiah, read it like this. "Unto you a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Drop the comma. Drop the comma. "He's wonderful. He's a wonderful counselor." Yeah, I go back. I must go on from there tomorrow morning. I said, "Good, good Father, I'm going to stop right here now. I'm not nearly finished. I'm going to stop because my time's almost gone. Remember his wonderful power. You've had a glimpse of this one in all his glory, liberating power, elevating power, subjugating power. And this one, my friend, who is wonderful also as a counselor, in all his wonderful precepts, he longs to come into your heart. Not just to give him a place, not even a prominent place, but the preeminent place. Oh, will you come tonight, and from your heart will you cry, 'Lord, not part of my heart, not half of my heart, but all of my heart, I give thee, Savior.'" Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We're just going to bow in a short word of prayer, and our brother John's coming to the platform. He's going to lead us in that lovely hymn, "How Great Thou Art."
is not in your group. He knows it. Somehow, I believe all of us knew it. And we're going to sing tonight. Think of the Savior. Wonderful in his power. And then sing from your heart. How great thou art. Shall we pray for John coming to the platform? Well, there were moments of silence, and in that moment, just of a quiet word with the Lord for yourself. Let me ask again very lovingly tonight, do you really know this one I've been talking of? Do you know this one I presented to you tonight? Oh, please, not in the abstract. Not someone living afar off. Do you know him living in your heart by his Spirit? Is he a reality to you? Not just a figure in history, not just a figment of your imagination, but the living Lord, the living Christ, living by his Spirit in your heart. If not, then why don't you receive him tonight? Why don't you own him as your Lord and Savior right now? And from your heart say, Lord Jesus, I thank thee for dying for me upon that rugged cross, to bear the penalty against my sin. I thank you for rising from the dead for me, and here and now only as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Take full control of my life. I yield my all to thee. Have thy way, Father. Work by thy Spirit. That again we sing this lovely hymn. It is some of the majesty and the glory of our adorable Lord Jesus. Grip our heart. To bend us low in worship and wholehearted devotion and wholehearted dedication for his own dear name's sake.